a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House Judiciary will be called to order. Welcome everybody to our meeting this morning, and I greet all the internet listeners. I remind everyone, if you have your cell phones turned off, I'd ask the secretary to call roll, please.
Representative Hunt.
Here.
Johns.
Here.
DeSanto.
Here.
Haugar.
Here.
Langer.
Here.
Botterell.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Russell.
Here.
Westra. Gibson.
Here.
Hiller. Stevens.
Here.
Nicholson. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Have a motion to approval of minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Representative Langer, second by Representative Langer, Hunt, and Gibson?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means we're going to get a consent on this one, huh? All in favor say aye.
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 I just want to remind anybody who's going to testify today to make sure you sign in that the lobbyists are wearing your appropriate badges. And if you have anything to be handed out, please take it to our pages. I will just tell anybody right from the beginning, Senate Bill 17, we will not be hearing that today. So if you're here for Senate Bill 17, the Attorney General is not going to be available to testify. So that will be deferred to our next hearing. We have three pages, and I invite them each to come up and tell us your name and what you're planning on doing.
I'm Cassandra Jones, and next year I'll be going to the University of South Dakota.
I'm Emily Plumage, and next year I plan to go to Ohio State University.
I'm Jenna Johnson, and I plan to go to the University of Minnesota, and we're all from Pierre.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you here and for you helping us out. First bill we're going to take is Senate Bill 29, an act to establish provisions for auxiliary members to serve on the Board of Pardons and Paroles, and we'll take proponent testimony at this time.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Lori Filer with the Department of Corrections. Senate Bill 29 is an agency bill. It's brought at the request of the Department of Corrections, and it was actually brought at the request of the Board of Pardons and Paroles. For those of you that are newer members in the Judiciary Committee, the Board of Pardons and Paroles is independent in their decision-making. It's a nine-member board, but they're administratively tied to the Department of Corrections, so the DOC provides their administrative support. What this bill does is it allows the chairman of the parole board to appoint an auxiliary member for those months or those hearings where there's not enough parole board members available. The parole board is a nine-member board. There's three members that are appointed by the governor, three by the chief justice of the Supreme Court, and three by the attorney general. They typically meet 4 days a month. They hold between 200 and 300 hearings per month at 12 different locations. It's kind of a logistical, it's fairly complex in terms of logistically getting the schedule all put together, but oftentimes there's concurrent board hearings going. Many of the parole board hearings are done by panels. State law allows parole board members to hold hearings in panels of two or more members. So that's how we get through 200 to 300 hearings in a typical month. However, there are some hearings, particularly clemency recommendations, and some parole hearings involving some higher risk offenders that the full board will take action and will hear. With members not always being able to attend all of the hearings, what that does is it shorts the schedule in terms of the hearing officers, where the remaining members have to work longer days. Or even more importantly, when we have a full board hearing, if, you know, the state law requires the majority of the full board, so that would be 5 out of 9. Well, if we have two members missing, that's 5 out of 7 that they have to get. So it does disadvantage the applicants. So what this bill would do is to simply allow the chair of the board, if they look at the schedule and they say, okay, we're going to be missing a board member or two this next month, that they can contact a previous board member who had served in the last 4 years and ask that person if they could sit in on that hearing or that day. I don't know that it's going to be used a lot, but the board had asked this as an option. And with that, I'd try to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Do we have any other proponents to Senate Bill 17? Morning, Judge.
Morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mark Smith. I'm on the Board of Pardons and Paroles, and I just wanted to come in and say that, as Deputy Secretary Filer said, this is something that the parole board members thought would be a good addition to what we can do, because sometimes we have times there's five of us that are working, four of us are retired. We don't always have all nine people present. There's jobs that get in the way of things and other things that get in the way. And it'd be nice to have an extra person available at those times when we're really short and don't have enough people. When we go to Springfield, usually there's seven people there, but sometimes we've been down to five. One month we had four. We had to get somebody on the television so that we could do some full board hearings. One of the things that is part of this bill is that the people can only be called in if they've been off the board up to 4 years. That we think will help with the training part, that we won't have a lot of problems with people not being in the loop on evidence-based practices and whatnot. So I'd encourage you to vote in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any other proponents for Senate Bill 17? Any other proponents? Do we have any opponents to Senate Bill 17? I'm sorry. What? 29, sorry. Got ahead of myself here. 29. Any opponents to Senate Bill 29? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony and open it up to any committee questions. Any questions by the committee? Yes, Representative Haugard.
Yeah, a question for either party, either of the proponents, just in regard to the number of members. Have you considered expanding the board by requesting a change in the statute?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I don't know that it's been seriously considered representative because, again, it's more of an occasional issue. There's many months that there's not a need for the extra board member. It's just an occasional thing, and that this seemed to be less extreme, I guess, rather than expanding the board.
Any other questions by the committee? Seeing none, I'll open up for committee action. Representative Langer.
I'd move to pass.
Okay, we have a motion by Representative Langer and a second by Representative Latterell. Any comments on your motion?
No.
Okay. The motion we have before the committee on Senate Bill 29 is a do pass. That bill is to establish provisions for auxiliary members to serve on the Board of Pardons and Paroles. We ask the Secretary to for a roll call, please.
Representatives Hunt.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Garth.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Latterell.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Westra excused. Gibson.
Aye.
Hiller.
Aye.
Mickelson excused. Stevens.
Aye.
11 yea and 2 not voting.
Okay. Senate Bill 29 passed unanimously. Yes, Mr. Representative Johns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that it be placed on the consent calendar.
We have a second. Any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 29 will pass and go on the consent agenda. Thank you. Next bill that we have in front of us is Senate Bill 37, and this is an act to adopt the 2008 Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, to repeal the 1996 Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, and to revise certain provisions relating thereto. At this time, we'll take proponent testimony. Senate Bill 37.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Gail Stoltenberg. I'm with the Department of Social Services, and I'm the Division Director for the Division of Child Support. I'm here today in support of Senate Bill number 37. The Uniform Interstate Family Support Act provides guidelines and procedures for registration, recognition, enforcement, and modification of foreign support orders, and contains provisions designed to improve child support collections in cases where custodial parent and the child reside in a different state or foreign country than the non-custodial parent. All states have adopted prior versions of the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, also known as UIFSA, and are in the process of adopting the 2008 version. South Dakota currently operates under 1996 UIFSA, as per South Dakota Codified Law 25-9B. I've outlined some of the most significant changes. Those include adding some more definitions to the Act, expanding on foreign countries, reciprocating countries is one of the main things that's been added, clarifying which state or foreign country has jurisdiction to modify a child support order, providing notice of controlling determination order to parties if there are multiple orders, clarifying the law of the state that issued the initial controlling order governs the duration of the child support obligation, defining information that must accompany a request for registration of a convention support order. So if we get a request from another state or a foreign country to assist with establishment enforcement of an order, basically just outlining what forms need to be provided with that request. Section 79 and 84 of this bill amend other sections of the law that reference the current 96 Act. And as a condition of receiving federal funds, state must enact the 2008 UIFSA verbatim. Failure to do so during the 2015 legislative session may result in the loss of federal funds of up to $6 million. Senate Judiciary passed this bill with 7 yeas, 0 nays. It was placed on the consent calendar, and it passed the floor 32-0. So I'd please ask your support and vote yes on Senate Bill 37.
Thank you very much. Do we have any other proponents for Senate Bill 37? Any other proponents? Do we have any opponents to Senate Bill 37? Opponents to Senate Bill 37? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony, open it up to questions of committee members.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Hunt.
I have a question of the last presenter. In the definition, if I might, Mr. Chairman.
You bet.
In the definition of foreign country, one of the requirements is that we have a reciprocal agreement for child support with that country. Can you identify what countries we presently have reciprocal agreements with?
You know, I have it written back on my notes that I left back there.
That's okay. This is an open book test.
I can grab my notes if you want me to, sure. Well, I thought I had the current countries listed here. I don't know that I have a list of all of them. The current countries that we have the agreements with, it's through our Federal Office of Child Support Enforcement has set up the agreements with the current countries. By expanding or by adopting this 2008 version, we will also be able to expand to foreign countries that are members of the Hague Convention. So that will greatly increase the number of foreign countries that we'll be able to reciprocate with. And that includes European Union, Albania, Norway, Ukraine, are ones that we'd be able to expand to.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any other questions by the committee? Seeing none, I'd open up for committee action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Langer.
I'd move to pass.
Okay, motion by Representative Langer, second by Representative Peterson. You comment on your motion?
I just think this is a good bill that obviously we need to pass.
Okay, the bill we have before the committee is Senate Bill 37, an act to adopt the 2008 Uniform Interstate Family Support Act. I have the secretary call the roll, please.
Representatives Hunt?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
DeSanto?
Aye.
Augard?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Fotterell?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Westra excused. Gibson?
Aye.
Killer?
No.
Nicholson excused. Stevens?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, there were 9 yea, 2 nay, and 2 not voting.
Okay, Senate Bill 37 passes on a 9-2 vote. Next bill that we have before us is Senate Bill 38, an act to revise certain provisions concerning the state communication system and the South Dakota law enforcement telecommunications system. Do you have any opponents for Senate Bill 38? Proponents, I'm sorry. got them off on the edge of their seats, didn't I, though? And they all leaned back. It was just a test.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Trevor Jones. I'm the Cabinet Secretary for the Department of Public Safety. Nice to be with you here today. I'm asking for your support of Senate Bill 38. At the present time, South Dakota Codified Law 113-1 states that the Bureau of Information Technology has sole oversight and responsibility of a telecommunication network that law enforcement utilizes on a daily basis. Senate Bill 38 would shift just part of that oversight to the Department of Public Safety. Law enforcement receives information a couple different ways, primarily voice information, as the dispatcher might relay information to the officer at the scene. But initially, that information that the dispatcher might get will come through the telecommunications port, often called the teletype. If you were back to your days of watching Dragnet or Adam 12 or any of those shows, the teletype makes that titter-tatter sound. Well, it doesn't do that anymore. It's a computer, but still the data as it flows back and forth from the source to the law enforcement entity is currently controlled by BIT, Bureau of Information Technology. What Senate Bill 38 does, it just takes that little portion of the data transfer back and forth from BIT and moves it to the Department of Public Safety. Bureau of Information Technology, they still have oversight of the voice, which is how we talk over the radio towers back and forth from dispatch to the officers. This is a continuation of an effort that some of you engaged in last year. Within Senate Bill 187, the main budget bill from the 2014 session, an amendment was introduced that allowed the money and personnel required to maintain the data side of the system to move from BIT to DPS, Department of Public Safety. Senate Bill 38 addresses the relevant statutes to ensure the appropriate state entity, in this case Department of Public Safety, has oversight of the data side of the system. Previously, most of that fell to the Bureau of Information Technology. Now that will be differentiated accordingly. Senate Bill cleans up some outdated language as well, and if passed, removes the necessity of obtaining a waiver from the Department of Justice that requires the system be maintained by a law enforcement entity. I would ask that you pass Senate Bill 38. Thank you for your time, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you very much. Do we have any other proponents to Senate Bill 38? Any other proponents? Seeing none, do we have any opponents to Senate Bill 38? Any opponents? Seeing none, I would open up to committee questions.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Hunt.
Of the proponent? If I might, Mr. Chairman, what's the impact as far as FETs or employees are concerned? If you're shifting this from one department to another department, will those employees also shift, or are we talking about new additional employees?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you for the question, Representative Hunt. That was addressed last year in Senate Bill 187. The FTE in dollars transferred last year with the passage of the budget bill. This is just updating the statutes that pertain to the responsibility and oversight of the telecommunications system.
Follow-up?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I wasn't here last year, so I wasn't aware of that. I have a question on the last page. We're referring to the fact that now the Department of Public Safety may adopt rules pursuant to Chapter 1-26. And is there, to the best of your knowledge, any intent to change any of the existing rules that the Attorney General has, in essence, adopted? And if so, could you enlighten us as to the general nature of the change of those rules?
Mr. Chair.
You bet.
Thank you again for the question, Representative Hunt. There is no plans in the works or strategy to changing those rules.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions by the committee? Seeing none, I'd open up for committee action. Representative Langer.
I'd move to pass.
Second, Representative Latterell. Representative Langer, would you like to speak on that?
No.
Okay. The bill before us is Senate Bill 38, an act to revise certain provisions concerning the state communication system and the South Dakota law enforcement telecommunication system. We'll ask the Madam Secretary to call roll, please.
Representative Hunt.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Augard.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Latterell.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Russell. Sequester excused. Gibson?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Mickelson excused. Stevens?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have 11 yay and 2 not voting.
Okay. Senate Bill 38 with passing at 11-0. We have a motion for consent. Do we have a second? Do we have any opposition to going on consent? No opposition. Senate Bill 38 will go on the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, before we go to the next bill, could I ask if the chair intends to appoint someone to present Senate Bill 37 on the floor because it is an agency bill?
Sure. I was going to do it unless somebody else wants to. I see a whole bunch of hands in the air. It's going to be a hard choice.
I think you'd do an excellent job, Mr. Chairman.
I thought you would think that. Actually, I was going to ask Mr. Representative Latterall and Killer to do it, but I thought that would be nasty, and so I'm not going to do that. Huh? I'll bet you would. We're going to move on to Senate Bill 48, an act to revise certain provisions pertaining to the operation of personal watercraft. This time, we'll ask for any proponents of Senate Bill 48.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Arden Peterson. I'm the Assistant Director for the Division of Wildlife of the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. I'm here this morning on behalf of the department in support of Senate Bill 48, an act to revise certain provisions for the operation of personal watercraft. Personal watercraft are commonly referred to as PWCs, jet skis, or wave runners, and are designed to be operated by a person standing on, kneeling on, or sitting astride the watercraft. They typically carry 1 to 3 riders. All PWC operators and passengers are required to wear personal flotation devices, commonly known as PFDs or life jackets, due to the likelihood they may fall off the vessel during normal operation. Senate Bill 48 would make three revisions to three subsections of South Dakota Codified Law 42-8-102 regarding the operation of personal watercraft. The first revision is found in subsection 1 and would change the reference to type 1, type 2, type 3, and type 5 personal flotation devices to wearable personal flotation devices. The four types of PFDs listed have commonly been known as wearables for some time now and were officially defined as wearables by the Code of Federal Regulations, CFR, this past October. Therefore, this revision will not result in any change to the types of PFDs currently required to be worn on personal watercraft. It only represents a change in verbiage. The second revision would be a minor language change found in subsection 2. And the third revision to 42-8-102 is found in subsection 3. This revision would amend the times when personal watercraft must have lights displayed. Currently, PWCs can be operated without navigation lights from a half hour before sunrise until a half hour after sunset. All other motorboats must display navigation lights from sunset to sunrise. In other words, PWCs have a half hour before sunrise and a half hour after sunset, where they can operate without navigation lights, which is different than other motorboats. This revision would bring personal watercraft lighting requirements in line with the lighting requirements for other motorboats in South Dakota. It is critical that boat operators be able to identify other watercraft from a distance, allowing time to slow down and to take corrective action to avoid collisions. In low light conditions that occur before sunrise and after sunset, it can be difficult to see any boat not displaying navigation lights. This can be especially true for identifying small watercraft such as PWCs. Since boats are not equipped with brakes, it takes a significant amount of time and distance to stop a boat. The sooner an operator notices another boat, the more time he or she has to avoid the boat and avoid a collision. Navigation lights do help operators identify other boats on the water in low light conditions and provide safer conditions for boaters. We ask that you take this action to bring lighting requirements for personal watercraft in line with requirements for other motorboats and require that they display navigation lights when on the water during the hours of sunset to sunrise. We believe this action will help provide for safer waterways in South Dakota. Thank you for this time, your time this morning. I respectfully ask for your support of Senate Bill 48, and we'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponents to Senate Bill 48? Any other proponents to Senate Bill 48? Do we have any opponents to Senate Bill 48? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony and open up to committee questions or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hunt.
Question of the proponent. Looking at line 11 of page 1 of the bill, the language seems to be just a little bit awkward. Because we're saying between the hours of sunset. I mean, I don't know if there's a particular hour of sunset because it does vary every day. I'm wondering if you would consider it to be a friendly amendment if we just said on line 11 on the first page, between sunset and sunrise. Unless the personal watercraft is equipped.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We would not have any problem with that change. That would still be, I think, be a friendly amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I consider this just to be kind of a sentence structure type thing, not trying to kill the bill or anything like that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Haugert?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regard to... A question for Mr. Peterson in regard to the accident statistics. Do you have anything to identify if that's been an issue?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I don't currently have any accident statistics. I did do a brief check with some of our law enforcement personnel to see if we've had anything recently involving any personal watercraft during those times, and we haven't.
Follow-up?
Yeah, follow-up. Do you know if there's been anything in the distant past?
I couldn't answer that as well.
Any other questions or action by Representative Latterell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the sponsor on Section 2, or Subsection 2 on line 9. You have changed the word his to the. Could you explain the reasoning behind that, why that's a necessary change?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I don't know that that'd be a necessary change other than that was a recommendation from LRC, the way I understand it, to change his to the pers. So it would be not gender specific, excuse me.
Yes.
The way I'm reading it, it seems that... might even make it more ambiguous if it's saying attaching such lanyard to the person. Seems like it could be ambiguous in terms of which person it's referring to, whereas when it's his person, I feel like it's clear that it's the person operating the watercraft. So I would resist that change, but support the bill.
Okay, any action by the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Hunt.
Move to amend by on line 11 of page 1, delete the words the hours of 1/2 hour after, and then delete the words 1/2 hour before, and insert an and. So it would say, between sunset and sunrise.
Second.
We have a motion by Representative Hunt and second by Representative Langer. Motion so that the sentence would read between sunset and sunrise with the words the hours of 1/2 hour after and subsequently 1/2 hour before being deleted. Does everybody understand that? Okay. We have a motion before the committee to make that amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Yes, Representative Gibson.
To address the last issue with the his versus the, it could be changed to his slash her person, and then it would not be gender specific. Okay. If that would be amenable to the committee.
We have a staff member here that's having issues.
Mr. Chair, if I might, in general, we don't use his or her anymore, especially his slash her. We try to use general specific or general neutral terms as much as possible. So this is just consistent with all other statutes and changes we've made in the past.
Okay, do we have any action by the committee? Representative Langer.
I'd move to pass.
Second.
As amended.
As amended. We have a motion by Representative Langer to pass with a second by Representative Hunt as amended. Any comments, Representative Langer? Okay. Yes, Representative Hauger.
Just in light of the fact that there haven't been any statistical information that's been presented to show that there's a need for this, and in light of the fact that, you know, apparently this has not been a problem. People enjoy their activities half hour before, half hour after. I would see that this isn't necessary to make this change. I can see the change in line 6 in regard to wearable personal flotation device is fine. But as far as revising the timing, I understand that it's consistent maybe with the boating hours, but as I say, I don't see there's a need for the change, and I think it just potentially creates some additional problems as far as use of devices, and oftentimes it's hard to find nice days anyway to enjoy those things, much less being restricted even more, so I'd oppose the bill for that reason.
Okay, any other comments by committee? Seeing none, we'll ask the Secretary to roll call on Senate Bill 48, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the operation of personal watercraft as amended.
Representatives Hunt.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Hauger.
Nay.
Langer.
Aye.
Latterell.
Nay.
Peterson.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Westra excused. Gibson.
Aye.
Hiller.
Aye.
Nicholson excused. Stevens?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, there were 8 yay, 3 nay, and 2 excused.
Okay. Senate Bill 48 passes on an 8-3 vote. Who would like to take this on the floor? Representative Peterson, you never look up. Never look up. Yeah, you did. Would you please take care of this for us? Thank you very much. We have no further bills. We have a motion to move by Representative Langer.
Second.
Second by Representative Gibson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Don't forget to leave your notebooks here.